to hurry up and get done. A couple of my favorite people are here. One of them I didn't think he was going to be. Gene, it's good to see you back there. I called him this morning and I said, I have a special project for you. We're going to get into that here in just a second. If you've been following along or if you have your book, Core 52, I got to give shout out to Mark Moore. There are two of these guys that I dearly care about. One of them is Mark Moore. The other is Mark Scott. I've had the chance to sit in some Mark Moore stuff. And this guy is intelligent beyond his means. There's a third guy. His name is Terry Boland. And some of you, Bob will remember him. He is the voice of God, as he come to be known, his brother. He actually grew up in the same little town that I did. This book here, though, there are 52 chapters that really are important to you and me. There's 52 keys, as it is, that you can find in Scripture that will point the way to where we are. But before we get into that, we're going to talk and just briefly look at last week. I'm going to ask Lisa to see if she can get my tablet out of there and open up my ESV. She can be a participant as well. If you'll remember last week, Adam and Eve had just one job, and we all know what happened. Sin entered in, right? And man, I was kind of what Dan, I thought he was going to give us some explanation. Why put the tree there? Why put the snake there? And I thought he did a pretty good job. In the process of that, here's what happens. This is why I need Gene. This is why I need Ben standing there in the back. These kind of things happen all of the time. You and I should know this. I love things when they're put together. And this is really what God intends, isn't it? He intends for us to be whole. He intends for us to have all of this stuff. And what he originally intended when sin entered in is this is what happens. How many anybody afraid of broken glass, you know? How many hits will it take to break a glass? Sean, any idea? Put a hole in the bag, it'll be a really bad deal. Oh, man, that's really bad. This is what you end up with. Gene, broken relationships. Isn't that right? The relationship between us and God got broken this one second. So, Gene, come right down here. I need you to take this back. In this bag also is some Scotch tape. And I need you to put this back together. To the best of your ability, you and Ben back there. By the way, Ben's looking intelligent. He's got his glasses on, right, Amanda? So, Gene, he's the brains, you're the brawn of that group. So we've seen this over and over, and so God, instead of just bailing, I mean, seriously, think about this. Wouldn't you have done it? Let's just get rid of Adam and Eve, start over. Seems simple. Oh, no. Remember what he told them? If you do this, then this is going to happen. But if you don't, you're surely going to die. We know that didn't happen. We know instead that they were kicked out of the garden. Because of that original sin entered, our relationship is broken as well. There's no getting out of it. God come up with a plan. Matter of fact, if we go over to the text today, we're going to find it in Galatians chapter 15 and verse 6. And this is what it says. Simple little verse. And he's talking about Abraham. And he said, he believed the Lord and he counted it unto him as righteousness. The covenant's got to be made. If you go back and you start looking through the Old Testament, it ain't long until you find covenants entering the scene. Matter of fact, I got to digging around. I thought, surely there's a chance that I've got a covenant. Guess what I found? Yes, sirree. Right here it is. This thing is 35 years old. Wow. Open this little jewel up. I don't know how many of you got one of these, but I sure do. I ain't even got my glasses with me. I'm in trouble, for sure. I wrote in really big letters on my notes, though. There it is, folks. The first covenant I ever entered into. It's a marriage license. It's got the seal on it and everything. And you know, with that marriage license, whenever we start talking about covenant, I don't want to lose that thing. I almost thought about setting it on fire, getting a fake copy and letting Lisa just freak out. But I thought maybe, yes, dang it. Don't ever acknowledge that stuff, guys. It'll go away. Really good. As you move along in this covenant, there's some things that were established in this covenant, and that is, I remember saying these words, I do, I will, so on and so forth, in sickness and in health and in good times and bad, in richer and poorer. I don't know why we said that, because it's always poorer, right? And we sealed this up with this and some rings, and you won't see me hardly ever wear my rings because my work won't let me do it. And then there were some people that signed this, and they were witnesses to it, and the whole nine yards, and we didn't have to sacrifice no animals. Thank goodness. You know, because we know this about all the covenants in the Old Testament. They had to be sealed up with some blood. And it's no mistake that it was. When there were covenants made, they would generally take an animal and they would saw it in half and they would stand between the animal. And I don't think that's any mistake. The blood has to be shed. But also, violators of this covenant, this might be what happens to you. Right? I mean, when we start looking at covenant, then we have to bring ourselves to this really this one particular question. And that question is, how do we have a relationship with God? Because it's been broken. Adam and Eve screwed it up for us. And here we are with this broken relationship that's got to be mended. And the only way that it can is with a covenant. And of course, everybody knows, if you know your Bible very well, and you don't even have to know it very well to know Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant, in very basic sense. However, when we go back and we really start looking at covenants, we really just see five or six of them. Isn't that true? There's pillars of our background, pillars of our history in the Bible that are really important. One of those is a fellow by the name of Abram. Oh my. Oh, Abram. Later his name would be changed to Abraham. And whenever we start looking at him, you've got to connect your history with him. And for sure, not just us, the Jews and the Christians. And, oh, we can't leave out the Islam, right? We can't leave that out. They draw their history all the way back to Abraham as well. And then everybody knows it's because of Ishmael. You see, when we take things into our own hands, there are consequences for it. And so as we start to pour through this, and we have to be able to identify what faith is. And first of all, I think there's some things that faith isn't. It's not this blind leap into darkness. That's not what it is at all. I think we want to go, oh, God, are you just asking me to trust you and I'm going to step off the mountain? It's not like that at all. I think it's really more about walking in the light. It's really more about walking in the light and trusting than it is just taking a leap. I think also if you look at faith and what it really is, I can tell Lisa, I've got this little certificate up here. I mean, isn't that proof enough? But I've got this little deal that says, we're married, I love you more than anything. And I always get on the guys at work when they talk to their wives and they always follow it. They always end it like this. Love you, bye. I swear that's one word. Love you, bye. And, you know, I can call Lisa every day and I can go, you know what, I just love you more than anything. And I can, and she can have faith in that. But if I substitute faith with faithful, or even better, with fidelity, oh man, uh-oh, completely different. Because everybody knows what infidelity is, right? But if we start talking about fidelity, it's completely different. If I'm going to have faith and she's going to know that I really love her, it's going to be with my hands and my feet, not with just my head and my heart. Because see, with faith, it probably starts up here in your head. And I think that's probably okay with what you believe faith is and maybe how God works. It gets down at heart in your heart, though, and it might get just a little bit fickle. It really might. Because you might start believing what faith is, and you might start thinking emotionally about it. But if it never leaves your head or your heart, never gets to your hands and your feet, then it's not faith at all. Oh, I guarantee you, some of you are saying it. Well, it says in there, show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my faith without my works. Time we get over to James and places like that. It's going to cause you to do something. So you're going to have it up here, maybe in here, but it's going to cause you to have an extension to your hands and your feet. I still think the greatest thing that has happened to the church today, one of the sorriest things, is that not that our hands are shackled, but that our feet are. That we won't get out and we won't do. That we know that there are the lost out there, and I got to be honest with you, I'm a little bit scared, I'm a little bit intimidated about going out there and telling others about Jesus, or about inviting them, because it causes me to have to put my faith into action. So if we look at faith in this text, and we see it probably more as faithful, then we also have to know this, is when we put our hands and our feet to it, then that's kind of the same way that we have to do with this covenant. And there are two well-known covenants, and we talked about those, the Old Testament and the New Covenant. But there's three things to look at, and they are party, terms, and consequences. Let me tell you about something about a covenant with God. The party that's involved there is, one party is always greater. God is always greater than us. And when He makes a covenant with us, He sets all of the terms. For you to think that you could compromise, hey, go clean your room. Oh man, I got to be on the phone. I got homework to do. It isn't that way with God and His covenant. Not at all. Not even for one second is it that way. He doesn't want you to go, well, I will, I might. Here's the terms. It's me and it's you. I set the terms. End of story. We see it throughout the entire Old Testament after all. He didn't go to Adam and Eve and go, hey, you guys, I got an idea. Let's talk about what trees you might like. Let's talk about maybe what you kind of want to do, maybe what you don't really want to do, and I'll compromise with you. He said, don't eat of the tree. End of story. Then he follows it up with consequences. You eat of the tree, you're going to die. He set the terms. I don't see any single time in there until it came to blame. Once it got the blame, then it started changing, didn't it? Started blaming God. You kind of knew what the terms were. You kind of knew. The terms are, he said, you fulfill the covenant. Really pretty simple. He's going to make the covenant. We know that later on, by the time we get the New Testament, we get to Jesus, we know that the covenant was going to be established through the death of Him on a cross. No compromise. Absolutely none. After that, He has already set the terms for that. I'm going to die for your sins. All you need to do is have faith or faithfulness in me and come and do what I ask you to do. End of story. The terms were set. They were set in blood. Consequences. Isn't there always consequences? Always seems to be. I mean, by the time we start looking at some of these that were made, we have Adam and Eve, and we kind of know what they did. It's like, hey, all you got to do is don't eat the tree. Don't eat the tree. You're going to be fine. I think that was his intention. Us to stay in the garden, maybe work the garden, and him to come down and walk with us every day and to be with us every day. I think, yes, that's what he intended. Consequences were real. Way to go, Eve. Way to follow it up, Adam. I was giving it just a second. Way to follow it up, Adam. I mean, at least Eve at least kind of tried to talk her way in and out of it. Not Adam. You got food? I could see that look in his face. You got food? Kind of like guy's shiny object. So we're there with Adam and Eve, and it's really pretty simple. It was a covenant between two people. That's all that it was. Wasn't going to involve anybody else. It was going to be super simple. And don't you wish that's the way it was? And we're going to keep looking forward. By the time we get to Noah, who would have been the next one, then it was between a husband, wife, and their kids. Build a boat? How hard can that be? I love boats. Don't you, Jamie? You love boats? I love boats. Build a boat. Get in the boat. You'll live. Build a boat, don't get in the boat, you'll perish. Pretty simple. Very simple stuff. Husband, wife, children, by the time we get to Noah. Then as you look on to Abraham, which is kind of where we're at today, you get husband, wife, children, and nation. And some pretty simple things, although we think about it. In his 90s, he says, here's all I need you to do. Leave your land and your family and go have some kids. I'm 98 years old. Simple. Do what I tell you to do. It isn't a blind faith, though. It's not like just run out into the desert. He's like, I will be with you. I will be there the whole way. Do what I tell you to do. I don't know about you. Is there anybody in here that's 98? Is there anybody in here that's 90? 89, 88, we're getting around Claude's age, that sort of thing. I guarantee you this, Claude and Martha aren't thinking about having a baby. I'm pretty sure that's not what's going to happen here, but that's the deal. That was the covenant that was made with them. That's all they had to do. Seems kind of simple. Then we get to Moses, who actually went and freed the people, and this is for a whole nation. He took over 1 million people and he said, just go, I'm going to show you what the promised land is. And he had this fire by night, he had this pillar of cloud by day, and he fed them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Seems simple. Just do what I ask you to do. Moving on from him, and you get to a guy by the name of David, and it was the whole nation with David and anyone who would align themselves with him. Wow. Pretty simple. It's really pretty simple. The covenant, we don't establish the terms. We don't set the terms. The greater sets the terms. Always been that way. Then, of course, by the time you move from him, you get to Jesus. Man, I don't want to be a spoiler for these 52 weeks. But by the time you get to Jesus and the final covenant, things really start to pick up pace. And I do know this, by the time you get to Jesus, the requirements get easier and broader. It's for you. It's for me. It's for everybody sitting here. It's for everybody in the United States. It's for everybody on the globe. And there ain't no circumcision. There ain't no cutting of bulls and goats and stuff in half. There ain't none of that. He said, just have faith and believe. See how it gets easier? It gets broader. More people are pulled into it. Why does all this even matter? I wonder how they're doing with that vase. Think they're having any luck with it? Broken relationships that need to be fixed. So we have faith in God, and He wants to establish this covenant with us, and we got to start looking at it, and we got to start figuring out how come and why does this all matter. We're in a covenant relationship with God right now, and there's a couple of things to remember. One is that you have some responsibility. Don't think that you don't. Don't think that you get to say, I jumped out of that baptistry and I slid in home and I don't really have nothing else to do. That isn't home plate. That's like first base. You get in that baptistry, you say, I will, I do, I love you. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all that, and you get dug down and you rise in a newness of life, completely restored and a different person, then you have some responsibility. Don't negate it. Don't think for one second that it's my responsibility or that it's Dan's responsibility or that it's your elders or your deacons or anybody else's or your Sunday school teachers. Everybody has some responsibility to belong to the kingdom. Ain't that right, church? You have it too. And if you can ask yourself one question, let it be this. Did I proclaim Jesus today? Let it be that. If you're the only Jesus that anybody's seen, I'm going to tell you, there's times when I wish God just would have went, hey, Terry, ding, I'm done with that nonsense. I'm glad He didn't. So glad that He didn't. There's responsibility. I'm going to tell you something else. There's community. You, this right here, I don't care whether you like it or not. You're my brothers and sisters. Get on board with it. We're in this together. Every one of you. I don't want nobody to leave out of here, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're not on board with Jesus, you're here for the wrong reasons. This is community. We do things, and here's the thing. There should be a sense of love, people. They're not going to know who we are if they don't have that sense of love when you come in them doors right there. If you come in there and you don't have that sense of love around here, you better come see me and slap me on the reset button right back here. Go, huh? Community. And not just community here, but as a church as a whole. If we think about where Abraham was traced back all of those years and to Muslims and Jews and Christians, that means 3 out of every 5 believing people on the planet are hooked to Abraham and got good reason to be. Be responsible to it. Know that this is about community. And before you think, me and the chairman of the board, raise your hand right there, Roy. Roy's the chairman of the board. And we talked about this. If you think for 1 second that because Roy's the chairman of the board or that I'm an elder here that we lead this church, you missed it. I'm going to tell you what us two do. We keep praying, God, have your way with these people. You do what you're going to do in this church and we're going to follow. That's what we're going to do. Nothing else. We're not compromising here. Absolutely not. The truth of the gospel is going to be preached. We're going to do what God tells us to do. End of story. I know what you're thinking. Geez, Terry, kind of give me a break. But it's really more of we and less of me. It really is. That's where community has to start. That's where we have to realize what God has commissioned His church to do. More of we and less of me. So I ask myself, you ask yourself this same question. In the last year, 1, have you invited anyone to church? Have you introduced anyone to Christ? And 2, have you followed through with it? I asked this question at a board meeting about 20 years ago, and I was surprised. One of the deacons, he goes, Terry, I just don't care about the lost. I've never forgot that sentence in all my days. I fell out of a chair. Literally, fell out of a chair. I stood up and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. We're about the lost. We're about the broken. They're going to bring that vase in here. Can you guys imagine what this Gene's in charge. Can you imagine what this is going to look like? This brokenness, it's going to be this vase that I gave them. It looks so perfect. They're going to bring it in. It's going to have tape on it. I bet there's going to be some glass. And I bet Gene's going to say, well, you know, we had this going on. He probably is out there. This is just Gene probably out there telling a fart joke. You all know Gene. You know that's what he's doing. And he's out there. He's trying to compromise with Ben. And Ben's going, come on, Gene, help me out here. But I do want to see it. Because later on, it's going to be important. So Adam's covenant was removed with the prophecy against Satan and the snake. Adam's was null and void. It's no longer any good. I don't care how many trees you eat of. You ain't going to be in violation there. That's a done deal. We go on down and we look at Noah's. And really the ark, that whole deal is done too. There was a rainbow. But what was the significance of the water of the ark? Water saved him on that ark? You think he might have been looking forward going to baptism is going to be essential? I can't escape it. You can't either. You can't think that this stuff just happens by coincidence. When you lay out the Bible in this great big load and you walk along and you see this stuff, you're going, a boat and some water? Save the people? I get on down here in the New Testament and I see baptism. Those two are linked together. That's how you're going to be saved. There ain't no special powers over there. You don't open that thing up unless David put some kind of bubber in there and there's going to be smoke come out. Or did you guys do that? You didn't do that, did you? There's no special powers there. But it's the idea. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's how we plug Noah in the future. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. You guys remember this. God intervened. And as we look on down, he provided the ram, remember? On down, what's going to be provided? The perfect lamb. The perfect lamb is going to be provided. Now, you wouldn't think you could plug Genesis into the New Testament, but you can. This isn't coincidental stuff that we're studying, and this isn't coincidental stuff that we're reading about. Plugs in down here. That's where we're at. David's promise of a kingship. Remember that? David, you're going to be a king. Whoop-de-doo. Through your lineage, there's going to be other kings. And we know this. If we trace that lineage forward, David, we start seeing Jesus is going to be the king. But not on this earth. On this earth, a king in heaven is what he's referring to. See how you drive these parallels? See how you start hooking this stuff together? Makes perfect sense. I'm going to send a king, but it's not going to be like you and I think. I would be like those people in the New Testament. Let's go kick the Romans' butts. Grab your swords and spears. Let's go do this, huh? He said, there's going to be a king. There's going to be a new creation over in Revelation, the creation of the world in Genesis. Remember Dan talking about that? You keep moving on. The night before Jesus died, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Every week, we partake of communion. And we forget that, don't we? If someone had to die on the cross and shed blood without saying a word, a perfect lamb, completely without blemish. Hey, bring that up here, Gino. I told you guys, I thought we could count on Gene. I told him you were back there scheming. I was sure of it. Did you get any of it put together?
That's a Band-Aid.
Okay. Very good. You got started. I'm going to need this in a little bit. Man. Look at that. Going to bring me to my last point, really, and I know you're probably glad about that. Covenants are for brokenness. For broken people. Broken relationships. I don't know where you're broke today. I really don't. I just know that you are. You know how I know that? This is a church for broken people. That's what it's for. And if you come up here and if you sit in our pews and you're broken and maybe the pieces that are missing are really tough pieces. Lisa lost her dad. Lisa lost her mom. And I lost my dad. And they're pieces that can never be replaced. And all these other breaks or maybe relationships with your wives or your husbands or maybe with your kids or maybe, I don't know. You can fill in the blanks. All I know is all of these pieces that are still left, he still cares about them too. The pieces that you and I have stuck in our pockets and we didn't really want to trust God with, we've carried them around for weeks or months or years. I got this, God. Let me have that one. As Amy, you can come on up. The functionality of that thing, I don't know. You could probably still put a flower in it, couldn't you? Maybe some dirt. I don't know how long it would hold water. Might need some constant care. Kind of like what your intentions are, right? What you think your role is here is as far as being his follower, and these are the kind of things that he chooses to use. You and your brokenness. Yeah. I'm going to tell you. That's all we got. cross. Final covenant. With His blood. You can choose or not choose. And you can turn. You can certainly choose to remain this. Or you can walk over. And Roy or Carmen or maybe one of our prayer teams will be there for you. This is what God turned it into. You bring Him this. You bring Him this morning. I guarantee you. He ain't going to care. Not one bit. Gene, that might be the most beautiful face I've ever seen. You take it over there, that cross though. You take this over there. And you put it right down there at the foot of that cross. And you leave there. Right there. We're going to sing this last song. I don't even know what you got. I don't even know where you're broken. I'm going to tell you what. He cares. That cross right there makes all the difference in the world. I don't need you to sit out here and be afraid to take your brokenness to God. Afraid of it. Don't be afraid to take your brokenness to God. When He's in it. Right there's what it's going to come back like. Right there. I know some of us are going to be a little intimidated, aren't we? Be a little intimidated to go up there with my brokenness, not me. I'll take it up there. I know that's part of my responsibility belongs to the kingdom too. I want to be healed from my brokenness, from my sickness. I want to be healed from the stuff that keeps me from being who God asked me to be.